Hello, friends. Lee Brown here, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today we have an extra dose for you because we're in property management world. But never fear, there's also a moment of grace and thoughtfulness, which I love all the sides of real estate. Janet Fields from the Charleston, South Carolina area is here with us today, and you're going to enjoy the heck out of this conversation. So tune in, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. If you've never heard of Follow-Up Boss, you're going to love it. It's going to get you organized in a way that will actually impact your business for profitability and for better excellence with those you're serving. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. So thank you for coming on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So let's just start chatting a little bit. Tell my audience, who is Janet Fields? Where are you located? How long have you been in and around real estate? Give us a little bit of the inside baseball.
Okay. So I've been in real estate for about 14 years. I actually grew up around it. My dad was a real estate agent. He started real estate for right when I was born. So he started buying up properties and keeping them as investment properties and then helping others manage their properties. So naturally, he started his own company in 2009. And then I bought my own book of business in 2014. We've done a few acquisitions through there because we're in property management. So we manage about 600 properties, 500, 600 properties. Oh, it's fun every day.
So, put my eye out with a pen because that's huge. Like
it's a beast. It's a beast. Yeah. But I have a good team. Usually we have about 10 to 12 people to help us between local people and remote team members. I went to school for graphic design. I wanted to be an artist, but that doesn't really pay that well for a very long time. Maybe after I'm dead, it would pay off, but I would like to reap some of those rewards. No. So I also went into government contracting and was in fabrication for a while. And that's very technical, but also a very toxic environment. Do not love it. And then I saw an opening come over at my dad's company. And I just kind of hopped on the front desk, started working applications, answering phones, and slowly worked my way to the back. So that's my story.
All right. So when you were a kid, did you swear up and down the country, I am never going near real estate? I'm not going near what my dad does. Is that how you wound up in those other spaces, or was your creative brain just leading you there?
It was just leading me there. No one in my, it was never like, you guys should be following my footsteps. That never was a thing. Like they never were like, you should do this. This is a great opportunity. You should take over the family business. That never was said. But when I did come to my dad and say, hey, is it okay that I work here? I would like to kind of, join here. It seems like a nice, stable business. I can afford my own health insurance. Sounds like a great thing, right? He was thrilled. He's like, I'm the youngest of three girls. So he's like, I didn't think any of you girls were ever interested in the business. He actually cried. I actually cried.
Oh, stop. That's precious.
I know. And I never knew that was important to him because he just never said it. He just, I guess, assumed that we would just feed into this dream of his. So,
no, he didn't really pressure you, but he was dying for you to be over there with him. I love that so much.
Yeah. But we always helped out, flipping the properties and stuff. That was like a family affair, especially during the summer. So, we had our little screwdrivers and our paintbrushes and we were painting those damn louver doors, ripping out windows. Yeah, it was fun. My mom was there. It was a hot, dirty mess. And then as we got into, him owning his own business, then we'd help with data migration, stuffing envelopes, collecting the mail, all that jazz. So we're little workers part-time. We didn't even realize it. So it's just fun.
Well, it's a really good way to grow up because you're part of the big picture with a family. And I think a lot of kids today would be better off if they knew they had some purpose in the family as well as in life because you were needed. And that's really important to be needed and noticed even as a kid.
Yeah. And that's what they would tell us too. It's like, I need your help. This is Team Rediger. Like you need to help out so we can accomplish this together. And then, when this house is done, we'll all go out and have pizza and we'll go to Frankie's Fun Park and we'll spend some money on you guys and your new go-karts and it'll be a great time. So we're working for a reward or working for, something in the the close future. But it was
totally. I can dig that reward. Go drive go-karts from the house.
Yeah.
It sounds really fun.
It was super cost effective too for my parents.
I mean, we do notice that as grown-ups, but as a kid, you're like,
yeah. All right, like, so this is amazing.
You mentioned you bought your own book of business. So I want to hear about that story. Did you find a retiring agent or was it a property management book that you purchased? Because this is a space in real estate that exists. Mm-hmm. And most people never even think about it. They get their license and they just start straight up from scratch. So can you tell us a little about that story and how it happened?
Yeah. So actually, it was somebody who was aging out as a property manager, and she had about 350 properties, and her and my dad were close. So she actually contacted my dad and said, hey, would you take over this? And he said, actually, like, my daughter's looking. So we just kind of went that way. He helped secure the deal and then their seller financed. So, you know, it's a really easy transaction, and it was a great retirement for her. It's nice to buddy up with some of the people who are aging out and don't want to do it anymore. And it's a natural transition for them.
And gives her a revenue stream in retirement while you're buying her out. So did you set it up over like a 5-year window, a 3-year window, or perpetual?
Five. So we've done 5, we've done 4. And I just bought my dad out. And I'm super excited about that. He was thrilled to do it too, because it was like a gift. It was like a huge heart thing for him. He wanted to do it so bad. And his is a longer term one because, you know, he's older. He's planned for this. So his is 8 years. He's like, whatever.
And you would take care of your dad anyway. Like the happiest thing was my dad when he retired. He was like, okay, good. I can do woodworking and play golf and do whatever I want to do. And I really don't ever want to do real estate again. And
yes.
Why wouldn't we take care of our dads when they did so much work to set us up for success?
Yeah. And he's so sweet. So he had some health issues the last couple of years. And because of that, he's really like, he has 9 grandkids, 12 grandkids, a lot of grandkids. I've contributed 2 of those. So yeah, he loves those grandkids now. And he's 69 and he's getting on the ground wrestling with these kids and running around the yard with them and taking them on golf cart or 4-wheeler rides and playing tennis with them. So all the things he didn't have time to do for so long, he's really doubling down with the grandkids and enjoying them. I'm not jealous.
No, because they won't trade a minute of it, and neither would you, neither would he.
No.
So good.
It's too sweet.
All right. So in the property management side of the business, I always reference it as the high headache, low margin side of the business, because you have to have a pretty good size book of business to have a living. And with that, you have probably 95% well-behaved tenants who you never hear from. They pay on time. And the other 5% are like the cartoon characters with a little black cloud over their head all the time, where things are always going on. So you by default are going to have more stories in the crazy side of real estate than all the rest of us. And so Janet, I'm dying to know what the property management story is.
Oh my gosh.
Your life. You probably have a top 5. So feel free to tell more than one, because I'm dying for these.
So one of my favorites is Ghost. That was a weird one. You know, Charleston with Ghost, but it's actually a newer property. His properties are like built in the 2000s or so, right?
It was supposed to have Ghost.
Right. Very unexpected. But we've had reports of cell phones ringing, and it sounds like in the attic. Cell phones moving to the bathroom. A back room that's very strange that the kids and the dogs don't want to go into. Feeling like air rush through the hallway, being forced into a bathroom.
Forced into a bathroom? How?
Forced into it, like, and this person got bruises from this. Like, so, yeah, my husband was an inspector. He was going to the properties, and the lady was like, I actually have bruises from this. And she showed him a picture, and, you know, and he was just like, oh my God. Because it's not something that you just are like, yeah, ghost, you know? It's something that you're very skeptical about, but when somebody seems very, or like on eggshells to tell you because they feel embarrassed, and then they show you like physical proof, that's just like, oh my gosh, that's bizarre. So we've had a few of those instances. And actually in that one, we did find out that there was a spouse that was staying in that third bedroom, and they did pass away in that bedroom. They were very ill in that bedroom. Right? That's so creepy. I always think that bees are interesting when we get bees in the walls, because now we have honey, hundreds of pounds of honey in the wall, and an endangered species that we have to bring in a beekeeper to come bring these bees out. And after we clean out all this honey, hundreds of pounds of this, you know, delicious, messy honey, now we have the odds of them coming back again next year.
All right. So how do they know the bees were in there? Did like the honey seep through the walls, or is it just the constant buzzing, or they saw
the activity? Yeah, the activity and then the seeping of the honey. Yeah. And usually you don't realize there's hundreds of pounds, but when somebody comes and collects it, they're like, yeah, there's 300 pounds or there's 500 pounds. It's happened a couple of times. That one's a really weird one. And we have had some instances of mental health and situations where they collect a lot of items in the home. You know, usually put a name on it. But those are really difficult situations where we come in, the owner has like a friend that's been in the property and they're not paying rent anymore. The power and electricity aren't on at the property. So the property essentially starts to decay and die from the inside out. But the owner is paralyzed by emotion to move forward. And those are really tricky situations. So we've brought in social services with those situations, veteran affairs to help support them. And luckily we find investors to buy the properties to kind of flip them, to give cash to the owner to help get them out of that situation, trash out the home and redo the floors and mow down the jungle in the backyard. And just a real mess. It's fun to see it when it's done. You know, see the dumpster coming in, you know, like a huge change is coming. It's like a butterfly leaving his little chrysalis. So it's a beautiful trend. My kids have butterflies at home right now, so that's on my mind.
Some realtors do more business than others, and it's not just their great looks and their charm and amazing hair. It's their follow-up, y'all. People, on average, forget the marketing message after 16 days. Follow-up Boss will plug into the system you're using, and yes, they integrate with over 250 different programs to help you get organized with your past clients and with those neighbors that frankly should be your future clients. And if you go to followupboss.com/crazy, you get a 30-day free trial to go see how this works for your business. I can promise you, the people who forgot you didn't mean to, they want to hear from you. So go to followupboss.com/crazy and you'll suddenly figure out why all these top producers in the market are getting more business. It has to do with organization and detail work, and you can get there too. Followupboss.com/crazy for your 30-day free trial. Check it out. Let me know how it goes for you.
I love how you're describing that with so much thoughtfulness, because that TV show that exists around this, it's a real mental issue. And then the show almost makes light of it because you're just kind of voyeuristic about it. But when you experience it in real life with somebody, like they have no idea what to do, and you have to tread really lightly. And I love that you mentioned the investors are really a solution there, because I'm as bad as anybody else. I will smack talk a lot of investors, but it's not usually your local mom and pops that are doing bad stuff. They are solutions in a house like that.
Yeah.
I will talk smack about hedge funds because that's my job, but they are not going to come into that scenario with
the gold tape.
Right. I mean, like, some houses should not go on the market. They just need to be handled carefully. So I love the way you're just really focused on that. And I think that's an underestimated skill of a professional realtor, a professional property manager, is that there's scenarios that you encounter where you just got to slow it down and remember there's a human involved in this.
Human,
it's not about the story always. It's not always about the money.
No, because we could have just, you know, forced that person out, but that person may have hurt themselves. There was a long, dark story that got them to where they were and to function the way they did. And we just wanted to be, I didn't want to go to bed with a conscience of like what I did. So I'm very proud how we handled that situation. And we are doing a lot of thinking on that one. That was the first time we had to do something like that. And I think we did pretty well. But there's other stories too. What's that?
I was just going to say it's a good thing to tell your kids about life in real estate, because it'll help them think through their interactions as well, because they may follow your footsteps like you followed your dad a minute after you tried other things. But I'm just going to ask you if you think we're going to see more of that in a post-COVID era, because people got so wigged out at the beginning of COVID over, you know, toilet paper. And then after toilet paper, it was something else. And it turned out, you know, it was tampons later. And it's like all these different things. People get into that panic of I'm not going to have any. So I wonder if we're going to see more manifestations of that in the future. I hadn't even thought about that until just now talking to you. So now I'm curious.
I think it's possible. If you think about our grandparents, how they act, Like, I can see my grandma's, I can't believe it's not butter container. You know, you open it up, you think you get butter, and it's collards. And you
that's my refrigerator. So full disclosure, Cool Whip containers, the French onion dip, you never know what's inside the container.
Please don't put vegetables in Cool Whip containers. That is a lie.
My husband gets so mad because he wanted some French onion dip the other day and it was blackberry preserves. And I was like, but I was out of jars. And
it's such a disappointment. You're like, this is cabbage. This is not delicious at all.
Janet, you're never going to come to my house and eat out of the refrigerator, are you?
It'll just be like April Fool's Day every time. Stove
up. You're like, I'm not going to have any expectations here. Okay, so now I've got a mind worm to go look up some data points on that and see if we can start watching for the future. So anyway, what else have you encountered that's interesting?
So Airbnbs are interesting. That's an interesting animal. So we don't do short-term rentals or Airbnbs right now, but we do have people who try to sneak in under the radar. And I guess albatross, they try to rent it out under a sublet. And that is a very tricky situation.
Is that a common thing? This has not even occurred to me because I think a cottage in the Smoky Mountains, that's specifically for Airbnb. But you're saying tenant A rents it out for a year and then turns around and puts it on Airbnb and makes it his own short-term rental?
100%. Yes. Like there are situations where you can do that, where you can approach an owner and say, hey, is it okay if I do this? And if the investor situation's right, it works. But when a client has said, I want a long-term rental and somebody else comes in, you know, they're lying, they're breaking contract. It does happen. We manage, 500 properties and it happens maybe once or twice a year. And usually we catch on pretty quick because they start asking about, well, how many parking places are there? Or you find out it's there's two spots and now there's a line of cars against the road and there's an HOA. You know, HOAs in the South, they're expensive. So we start getting pictures immediately of like six cars in the driveway or the neighbors call that there's a lot of churn in this house. It's never the same car, never the same people. So yeah, that is an interesting thing to have to manage. And it's hard to prove. It's hard to prove. So that's another obstacle we have around it. Usually they move out or release in about 60 days, but it's a nasty mess along the way.
Well, yeah, because I guess you wouldn't see it on a Google alert for the address since Airbnb masks the address until after somebody has booked it, obviously for safety reasons, but then you don't have any real good way to track it.
Yeah, even if their name's on there, we can't really prove it. And even if we see different people on the property, you actually have to get a statement from those people to take to court saying that they're not guests or they extended past the time where if you say you're allowed to have guests on the property for 3 days without notifying, you know, you have to have proof. So you have to actually get a statement from these guests, which is pretty difficult.
So I guess the sneaky tenant could always just have a max 3 days on their Airbnb rentals and then they're under the guidelines. So. Mm-hmm. Tell me again what state you're in?
South Carolina.
So does South Carolina in the agreement, does it give the tenant the right of quiet enjoyment? That's the language in the North Carolina paperwork. You have that too?
Yep. So it makes it real tricky. Yeah. So we can give 24-hour notice to go in and do an inspection. So whoever's hosting the Airbnb can kind of show up and narrate the whole situation. It gets pretty tricky.
This is interesting. How prevalent do you think this is in property management right now?
It's not a huge thing. I would say it's like a 0.3 situation. If we had 600 properties, it happens once or twice.
Very specific. So do you think it's growing? Are you seeing more and more of it?
I think there's people dabbling in it. I think it's like new investors or people who are trying to get into the investor space, and this is how they're trying to build up their capital.
So does that mean you also see house hacking amongst your tenants and your investor clients?
House hacking, yes. And tenants do try to do that. We allow them to have roommates if they're going to be staying there, but if they're not going to be staying there, that's not okay. And there are some people who call us, some investors, and they do want to do roommate situations where you rent to individual roommates, and we will actually not touch that. That's like, you know, dealing with college students, that's difficult.
Yeah, let's put four tenants in this one property and manage four tenants for the price of one. That's a great model.
Yeah. And then you got to manage the common area and people's cleanliness habits and drama. So there's a lot of aspects. We've actually had, this is a nightmare that's only happened once, but we actually had a casino, an illegal casino being ran out of a residential property.
How?
So they brought in like the pool machines, like the digital machines. They had, the house was empty except for like the machines and a refrigerator and like a cash box.
Are you serious?
Yes. It's bizarre.
Who does that?
Yeah. So we've only had one of those. That was probably 2 or 3 years ago, but that was interesting.
How did you find out about that? Did the neighbors call you and say, what is going on over here?
The neighbors didn't even know. So I think they were only in the property a few months and the police actually kicked in the door. There was a raid. So that's how we found out.
So more of a cop situation. This is great. I mean, as an investor myself, I'm sitting here thinking, what would I do if I got the phone call that my house is being used as a freaking casino, or what would, you know, they call now the sweepstakes houses?
Yeah. You're like, I want out of that. Where's my money? Come on.
That's how the police found out. Somebody went to play and they lost enough money that they complained.
Yeah. It was really funny. In the refrigerator, there was like Diet Cokes and Capri Suns. So it's like, I guess that was what sustained them. Diet Cokes and Capri Suns. So like, why is there children's drinks here? That was concerning.
Because they were probably the lookout. I mean, in movies like The Goonies, the kids are the lookout. So that's
true. They're playing hopscotch in the front yard or something.
To keep the neighbors off. And it worked because the neighbors didn't call.
Yeah. It's surprising because neighbors are usually pretty good about, you know, people are parking on the grass, or they have dogs that are barking, or, you know, there's a lot of traffic in and out of this house. Yeah. Rental properties, most people don't love it. Neighbors.
Okay. So now as a property manager, sometimes you get to look amongst the personal goods that are left behind once they're outside of the statute of allowable time. So did you get to impound the one-armed bandit in the casino?
No, that would have been interesting though. I don't know. Maybe I could have put that on eBay or something, made a couple bucks on it. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, you could have.
We've had guns left behind though. And
that's wasteful.
It's tough too, because what do you do with it? I don't want somebody's random gun.
No, you drop it in the bottom of the river.
It would have been easier than calling the police, because nobody wants to take the daggone gun.
What? The police don't want it?
No, they don't want it. No, they don't want it.
I don't even know what to make of that. I would never be irresponsible with my weapons and leave it behind for once. I don't understand somebody who does leave them behind, because if you have them, you should be trained and you should know how to take care of them. So I don't understand that mindset.
And they're very costly, you know, it's an investment.
Cheap. Yeah. That's weird. How often does this happen? You say this like, oh, you know, they left their guns behind. How often?
It's happened like a handful of times in the, 10 years, it's probably been 4 or 5 times.
So it's more frequent than casinos, but less frequent than Airbnb sneak people.
Yes. Okay. Less frequent than Airbnbs. Yes.
I think you're going to have to design like some kind of a flow chart of the frequency of oddball things in your investment property. And this could be a really hilarious infographic to share on social media. Less frequent that you have a casino in your rental house, more frequent that somebody leaves guns behind, but definitely there's more opportunity for different shenanigans. You could like make a really fun scale. I think you should.
That would be interesting. Oh my gosh. One time we had some residents call us because their shower door was leaking, you know, and that's their responsibility to let us know when there's some damage. So we take care of it. Well, we asked for pictures. So we know like what kind of damage, so we know who to send out. And when they sent us the picture, you would not believe it. There was literally a mushroom growing out of the wall. It was about 2 inches long. And we were just like, oh my gosh, like how long did you just watch this mushroom grow? So obviously that, you know, the tenant's responsible for that charge because they watched this mushroom grow over who knows how long. And so we got the mushroom removed and the wall repaired and everything dried out and everything good. But I can't remember if that was a younger person or I think it was the younger generation's funny about things.
So they probably couldn't blame it on not being able to see and taking out their contacts where they took a shower. So they didn't see the mushroom for a long time. That's probably not going to play. But was it the same house as the honey? Not the same house as the honey.
Not the same. Oh, that would have been a really good foraging situation.
Right. That's what I'm just sitting here thinking. That's farm to table right in the house. It could have been a really big moneymaker.
Yeah. No, that I wish that would have been fabulous. No,
that's the least frequent opportunity is bees and mushrooms in the same house. And then we have mushrooms, and bees sound more frequent than mushrooms too.
Yeah, bees are more frequent than mushrooms. Mushrooms are just random. It's interesting the stories you get, the types of people. There's all kinds of people out there. There's people who are, you know, high strung, they want things just so. And then there's the people who don't care, and there's mushrooms growing on their wall. So it's a whole gamut.
Yeah, it's a whole different infographic right there.
Yeah.
All right. So Janet, if somebody's looking for a professional property manager, maybe they want to talk to you about how they do acquisition of business, or they want to know, you know, frequency of oddball things, they want somebody to help them manage. What's the best way for my listeners and viewers to find you?
Yes. So we're at oaktrustproperties.com. Our number is 843-804-9991. You would think I'd have that memorized, but I don't use phones very often.
We used to memorize them.
Yeah. Who's do we know anymore? And then we're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. You can find us in those places. And we have a bunch of videos on YouTube if you want to check out our collection.
Even better. Okay, friends. So all of those links are in the show notes for this episode. Make sure that when you go to Janet's YouTube channel, you subscribe. That matters on YouTube. And if you learned something new, then give her a high five or a comment in this episode here. And Janet, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us a couple of different viewpoints that a professional property manager can be as graceful as they can be shocked to find a casino. And I love that we get to talk about all the different angles. And when you see your dad, tell him I'm sending him a big high five as another daughter who retired her dad out. So I love the story. So grateful to you coming on the show today.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, friends. If you enjoyed this episode, you know what to do. And in the meantime, I'll just see you around.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism, and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.